I want to take a look at the story of Hanukkah that we mentioned appeared at the very beginning, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And then there's another story of Hanukkah that's, as we just mentioned a couple of moments ago, another story of Hanukkah which is referenced, though not quoted, at the end of the Sugya on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. But for convenience, here it is on one page. Let's take a look. Here on the left side is a quote, and I've broken into paragraphs to highlight the structure of it. This is the story of Hanukkah as the Gemara tells it. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis said before that the Hanukkah sugas begin the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the very last two dots in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. See, we are less than an amud in. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says, the Gemara has already begun to discuss some of the dinim of Ner Hanukkah. The Gemara takes a step back and says, my Hanukkah. Well, what's the backstory? Now, this mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, of Yom Tov Hanukkah, where did it come from? What's it all about? The Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, we have a brisa. And by the way, what language do you expect? Well, what does Tanu Rabbanan always introduce? A brisa. In what language do you expect a brisa to be written? A brisa. What language do you expect a brisa to be written in? From the Tanaim. Because Shu is right. This one is Aramaic, which is surprising. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. B'chafei b'kislev yomai d'chanukah t'manaye inun. The 25th of Kislev, you have the days of Chanukah t'manaye inun. They are eight. You don't have a hesped over the course of Hanukkah. You don't fast over the course of Hanukkah. Before we even go any further, already fascinating. Again, number one, we have a brisa that's in Aramaic. And an unusual type of Aramaic. Temanaya inun. Number two, anything else strike you about the opening of the conversation of Hanukkah? What would you expect to hear? What's the first mitzvah that comes to mind? Hanukkah is all about? Neres Hanukkah. And the first thing it says is, there's no fasting and there's no hesped. Okay. Seems like we're lowballing things a little bit. Number one, that's not so much on our mind either. Those are the details. You know, those are the details in the city. You do fast, you don't fast. You do say hesped, you don't say hesped. As an aside, someone asked me a fascinating shaila. We're talking about Lo Aleinu, someone who passed away, and the kavura is going to be passed away yesterday. Kavura is going to be today. The levai, the kavura is going to be today. They're trying to figure out, can you have hespedim? So Pasha says yes. It's erev Chanukah. It's not Chanukah. But here's a 2020 shaila. The kavura is taking place this afternoon in the United States, but there'll be guests joining by Zoom from Eretz Yisrael, and there'll even be one of the Avelim is in Eretz Yisrael, and because of corona restrictions, can't come in to be at the Kvura. So one of the Avelim is in Eretz Yisrael. I can't say stuck in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, when the Avelim is in Eretz Yisrael, and is going to be watching the Levaya on Zoom when it's afternoon of Chav Dalet here. But it, for that Avel Eretz Yisrael, it's already going to be the night of Chavei. It's going to be the night of Hanukkah. A fascinating shaila. Is it just an Isser to say Hespedim, or is it an Isser to listen to Hespedim on Hanukkah? Because the people saying the Hesped are going to be in America, and it'll be Erev Hanukkah. But there'll be people listening to the Hespedim in Hanukkah. Did in the Maspid or did in the Shomea? It's a nafgamina that never would have occurred until a couple of years ago. These are the shilas of 2020. So it's striking that the brisa opens in Aramaic, and the brisa opens by talking about hesped and tainus. They seem like they do come up, but they don't seem like central dinim. And then let's continue. Keshenichnasu yivanim laheichal, the yivanim enter the heichal, timukal shmayim shabheichal. The yivanim defa, the yivanim were metame, or the oil in the heichal. We know the story, and this is how we know it. We heard it secondhand, but it was being told over based on this Gemara. Keshagavu beit bachus bet chashmonayim utzachum. The chashmonayim came. The chashmonayim won They find the single solitary flask of oil, one container was still sealed, one container had not been punctured, and therefore they were comfortable assuming that it was still tahar. Beis Yosef discusses the opening Beis Yosef, maybe they could have been metami, even though they didn't open it. Okay, the Gemara assumes that if it was still sealed, and the oil inside was tar. As we know, there's only one day's worth of oil. They packaged it in single serve packages. So it was a single serve, one day's worth, one night's worth of oil. Rebosham does a nace. The one day's worth of oil lasts for 8 days. Shana acheres. The next year, perhaps the very next year, or a year soon after, kivaum va'asoum yamim tovim bahal v'hoda. They were koveya. The Chachmei Hadar established this would be a permanent Yom Tov. Not only that, in that year, in the aftermath of the Nes, obviously sang great Hallel and Hodat Ribono Shel'Olam, but this would be an ongoing, permanent addition to the Jewish calendar. Every year, 8 days of Hanukkah beginning on the 25th of Kislev. So, we mentioned before there are a few things that we notice that do appear that are striking. One is, why is it open in Aramaic? Another one in the opening paragraph, why are we leading? Why are we opening with the issue of Isser Hespinus or Tinus? The fact that it's phrased as 8 days that begin the 25th of Kislev, so that you probably know, that the end day is not fixed because Kislev is one of the 2 months in the Jewish calendar. Cheshvan and Kislev are variable. That could sometimes be 28, 9, sometimes be 30. We spoke about it a little bit when on Psachim Daf Beis Mabeis. So that's why it's always 8 days, but sometimes the 8th day is of Beis Kislev, and sometimes the 8th day is Gimel Kislev, depending on whether you have 29 days of Kislev. Sometimes the 8th day is Beis Teves, sometimes the 8th day is Gimel Teves. Okay. So, but we notice things that stand out to us that do appear. The Aramaic, the Hespinitinus. Any kashas on Hashmatos and what doesn't appear? What do you say? What doesn't appear? Shneir. I'm sorry? Yeah. Now, the Melchama does appear. Right? So he says the Melchama. The Melchama does appear, but the Melchama is, it's a footnote. The Melchama is the byline. If you want to know when the Nes of Hanukkah occurred, it was after they had won against Yevanim. But there's no focus on it. The focus, and that's why I sort of laid out the Gemara in paragraphs, the focus is clear, the central paragraph of the Nes Hashem. So an interesting Hashmata. How come my Hanukkah, we don't have the Nes of Melchama? The Melchama is just there, it's his background. Now what's remarkable is this isn't the only time Chazal tell us half of the story of Hanukkah. Right, this is the Gemara Chafal from the Beis, and as I mentioned to you a couple minutes ago, the sugis of Hanukkah run until Dav Chav Dalet, and then on Dav Chav Dalet we switch away from talking about Ner Hanukkah to talking about other dinim, predominantly Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim is the other major telling of Hanukkah in the classical literature of Chazal, and here it is right here, conveniently on this page. You can pull out a sitter if you want to also, but again, on this Daf Mekoros, I laid it out in paragraphs. And we know it. But if you actually look at it with the Eina Pekicha, you look at it Be'iyun, not just I think other Rebbeim of yours may have pointed out that it's a sad commentary on our davening that we, when we want to say, to go through something superficially, say to daven it up. Well, what does that say about our davening? That davening is supposed to be superficial. But unfortunately, when we daven Al Hanisim, we don't necessarily look at it carefully, deliberately, analytically. Let's do that. The backstory, the context, the spiritual decrees, the curtailing of religious freedom, the assimilation that the Yevanim were seeking to impose on the Jewish people. And what happened? The central paragraph, Atar Rachamecha Rabba, Matan Veitzaras, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood up for us, Rebbeinu Shem had our back, and miraculous victory. Rav Tez Rivam, Dan Tez Din, Makantez, Nikmaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. Then you have the five Biyads, Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, Rabim Biyad Miyatim, They were strong and we were, relatively speaking, very weak. They were an organized army. And we were a ragtag band of partisans and guerrillas. The Hashmonaim were fighting guerrilla warfare. And they were Rabim Yad Miatim. They were an enormous army. We were a small group. On the other hand, Tamei Biat Tahorim, Sham Biat Tzadikim, Zaydim Biat Uskar Sarasecha. Spiritually, we were in the right. Morally, spiritually, we had the high ground. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. We don't take credit for it. Ribono Shalom, you saved us. Teshuva Gedola Furuk Kayam Hazeh. Gevalt. And then, you'll notice, when we're done with the central paragraph, and then afterwards, what happened? After that, we came to back to Beis HaMikdash, Bav Nech, Vir Beis Hecha, Pinus Hechelecha, Tiris Mikdash. We come back to Beis HaMikdash, we clean it out. Pinus sounds like physically cleaned it out of the garbage that Yivam left behind. Tiris Mikdash sounds like Ba'ofen Ruchni, and halachically speaking, we were Matarit. He leaked an Bechaskos Hashachah, and we lit the menorah. The Kavu, Shmoros, Mechanaka, Elu, Lahodus, Halos, Shimcha Gadol. Alanisim ends the same way that my Chanukah ends. That they were koveya 8 days of Chanukah for halal v'hoda lahodos ulahal kavu lahodos lahal. So the end is the same. But what's the obvious hashmata in Alanisim? What's missing? Ironically, what does not appear in Alanisim? Nebosai. What does not appear in Alanisim? What's totally missing? Feel free to put it in the chat, or to call it out. Unmute yourself and speak, or chat it out. What's missing, Rabbi Yisrael?
Actual nace.
Yeah. Well, the other nace, right? The focus in Al-Hanisim, the central long paragraph, is in, we hear in detail the nace HaMelchama. There are a handful of amateur Hashmonai soldiers who won against the large professional armies of the Yevanim. The Neis HaMelchama. Like we read the story, 6 days of war, read the stories of 1967. How against all odds, a little Israeli army with barely an air force and barely a this, and three massive armies, boom. And in less than a week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes them out. Neis HaMelchama. But we don't hear about is Neis HaShemen. As a matter of fact, it's the exact, these two tellings of the story of Chanukah by Chazal are exact inverses of each other. They're puzzle pieces, but each one's missing half. Amai Chanukah, we said, is all about the Neis HaShemen. And then we mention the Milchama, but make no reference to the fact that it was even miraculous. After we won the war, Kadosh Baruch Hu did the Neis HaShemen. And meanwhile, here, in Al-Nisim, it's exactly the reverse. We hear all about the Neis HaShemen, and then afterwards it says that they lit the menorah. It doesn't mention that there was anything miraculous about it. It's notable that that's the one avoda that we hear about. We don't say they came back to Beis HaMikdash and started bringing the carbon talmud again. We don't hear they came back to Beis HaMikdash and started burning ketores again. The menorah, hadlakas menorah, is noted, but nothing, no Neis. What's pshat? Two half stories of Chanukah. In neither place do Chazal tell the whole story. You have the two puzzle pieces together build the whole story. Hello, Davarim. It's Tzarechin. When you actually start learning like a Lamdin, you look at the story of Chanukah and the Gemara and Dav Chav Alf. You look at the story in the Siddur. It's referenced on Dav Chav Dalet. Something's afoot. A Chanukah mystery. Two half stories. But nowhere do Chazal tell us both. Yeah, Kiva, what do you say?
Yeah, I was thinking that... I think there's two things in the Gemara which maybe could answer all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Gemara says that those who are Rugil and Nair, and Rashi says Nair is a Shabbos and Chanukah candles, still children are Tamidei Chachamim, and then so I think like everyone who asks on the Gemara, like, so where are the Tamidei Chachamim? Because everyone lights the candles. So I think they say they need to have like Simchon. And also if you look at the last line in the column on the left, the last line is Oshanach Eres Kavua.
Right.
So I think from those it seems to imply that the time of lighting candles and the celebration is more something remembering, it's kind of simcha and remembering the great stuff that happened. So before you can even start to talk about lighting the candles itself, you need to be in the proper mindset. So that would explain, I think, why the halacha starts early. You can't even be sad because that's not what this time is. And then in terms of why there's parts of the story in each spot, so the Gemara is saying the part of the oil because... the Al Nisim is not saying the part as much about the oil, because Al Nisim in general is more about the military victories, right? That's what the one for Purim also talks about, the defeating of a Haman who went out of fight, but then the Gemara, which talks about the miracle of the oil, so that's, I forgot why, but I had a reason.
Okay, so let's zero in. Akiva is raising several critical points. Number one, he's pointing out that the way that my Chanukah opens, the Isra Hespin, Isra Tainis, is an expression of Simcha. Those are expressions of Simcha Beshev Va'altasa. We refrain from Hespin. We refrain from fasting as an expression of Simcha. The debate, the opening pages of Hilchas Chanukah and Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah, that goes back to Rishonim, is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Chanukah positively? A Yom Tov, that there's a higher level of Simcha that mandates not only avoiding Tainus and avoiding Hesped, but Seshev Altasa, Yom Tov, there's a Chi of Simcha even Bekum Vaseh, you have to have a Sudas Yom Tov, and so on and so forth. We discussed before Yom Tov the Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Hashem, the Sigil Eir Mesechus Pesachim. So there is a discussion, a debate in Rishonim, and debate on the page of Shulchan Aruch, is there a notion of a Sudas Chanukah or not? Is there any substance to Chanukah parties or not? And the Mechaber is very hesitant about it. The Ramah says there could be if you inject into it Shiras V'Sishbachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A secular Chanukah party is neutral, but if it's actively focused on Hodat Ribono Shel, so then that could convert it. Chanukah has some degree of Simcha, so that they have a potential for a Sudas Chanukah. So that's the first point that Akiva is making. Correct. That the Braisa of my Chanukah is opening by speaking to the mitzvah of Simcha. And then you make a second important point, which is that both Al HaNisims talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us. Purim, the focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us from destruction by Haman, and the military aspect, as it were. And Chanukah also, Al HaNisim is a focus on saving us. That's a key observation. Let's see where that takes us. Because I want to ask you a second question. See, the thinking about one of the, in addition to wondering how come each time we get half a story, the learning, and I use that word advisedly, not just saying, but learning Al HaNisim and learning my Chanukah, gets us thinking about the fact that there are two Nisim of Chanukah. There's a Neis HaShemen, and chronologically there was a Neis HaMelchama, and then there was a Neis HaShem. And once we're thinking about analytically, so then you'll ask yourself, well, why? Why were there two Nisim? What do I mean why? Since when do we ask why? Well, take a look at this Ramban. Ramban in Parashat Shoftim. Ramban al Torah. Ramban is talking, Parashat Shoftim profiles many different sorts of Jewish leaders, many different Jewish leadership roles over the course of Parsha Shoftim. You have the Melech, and you have the Kohen Gadol, and you have the Sanhedrin, you have the Navi, and so on and so forth. And you have the military leaders as well. You hear about the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, who was, so to speak, the national chaplain. And you also hear about the military leadership, the generals, the officers. Ufa perek chaf pasuk tes in Parsha Shoftim. Ufakdu saritz va'os perosham. The Torah says the Jews are going out to war. So you hear the speech from the Meshuach Melchama, and you also have to have organized military. You have to have officers that are leading the soldiers into battle. So Rabban says, why did the Torah have to tell you that? Wherever you go, you go. It's a din. You have to have officers. He says, yeah. What's the significance of that? Ki haTorah titzaveh b'derech haaretz. The Torah is telling you that you have to do things naturally. The way an army naturally functions well is only with organization, only with a chain of command. The Torah says you need to have a naturally organized army that's going to function b'derech haTeva. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, promises us Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the Nisim im Yireyav, the Hester. Kadosh Baruch Hu may well do Nisim for us, as we have seen even in the last 100 years, more than once. Nisim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the battlefield. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do Nisim behester. Behester means this is a term that the Ramban uses often, Nisim Nistarim versus Nisim Geluyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do Nisim Nistarim, hidden Nisim, meaning where it's not a direct suspension of science, not a direct suspension of nature. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that they will win against all odds. A nasnister. Ein hachef that's lefan of l'shanos tivo sholom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is generally not interested in doing nisim niglun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we saw this in the Ramban in Parashas Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to keep things as natural as possible. That's why Ramban said, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Noach build a teva, and a very, very large teva, to keep things as natural as possible. Because Ramban, he says here again, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do Nisim unless it's a particular purpose. Unless there's no other way to save the Jewish people, no other way to save this group, no other way to save this static, then Kadosh Baruch Hu will do a nes to save us. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do a nes to solve a problem, but not stop. So that's what Ramban says. Kadosh Baruch Hu will keep everything as natural as possible. Even if Ribbono Shlom is going to give us miraculous Yata Dishmaya on the battlefield, he still wants us to have the tsura, the natural tsura of an army. Ufaktu Saretzvaos Roshaam. So the official purpose for a Nes Nigla, when it occurs, is Yeshua, Hatzalah. So you look at these two Nisim, and you say to yourself, well, now the Ramban gave me this concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim for particular purposes. Nisim have a function. They don't just happen. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any nes he wants to at any time. He created the universe. He runs the universe. But we see from the Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to limit Nisim to a as per need basis. So you always have to ask yourself, what's the need? What was the accomplishment? What was the purpose of the nes? So if we're looking at this from that perspective, what we could call, if you like using this sort of multisyllabic terminology, from we're looking at Nisim from a teleological perspective, from a goal-oriented, where was the Nes supposed to get us to? And you use that Amas Hamida to look at the two Nisim of Chanukah, only one of them seems to pass the test. The Nes HaMelchama, profiled in Al-Nisim, yeah, that was to save the Jewish people. Remember the Ramban wrote in Parsha Shoftim. But what was the purpose of the Nes HaShemen? Not a question we necessarily would have asked when we were younger. But it's a valid question, because we showed him, tell us, Ramban and others tell us, Nisa Gar Boshem does Nisan for a purpose. What was the purpose of Nes HaShemen? Why? What was the purpose of Nes HaShemen? What was it meant to do? What was it meant to do? So I want to show you a Geshmak Maharal. Everybody say, Geshmak Maharal. A Geshmak Maharal. Maharal is famous for his Sifri Machshava. He was a Talmud Chacham in Lamdas and Halacha as well as in Machshava. And his Machshava itself is a blend of both philosophical Machshava and mystical Machshava al-Pi Kabbalah. He was Rav in Prague. Around a century or more before the Nod Yehuda was Rav in Prague. Prague had its share of Gedola Yisrael, who were sat on the Kisei Rabbanus of Prague. So Maharal has one sefer in the set of Sifri Maharal. There's a sefer Ner Mitzvah, which is dedicated specifically to Chanukah. In a couple of different parts to sefer Ner Mitzvah. So this piece comes from the section of Ner Mitzvah where he's going through the Gemaras and Masechet Shabbos. And so he says, as the Pnei Yeshua also writes, Pnei Yeshua on Masechet Shabbos, on that Gemara, that the purpose of the Nes was to communicate to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't Stam, Nes Hashem and Shain, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the oil last for 8 days. But the purpose of that was to communicate to Klal Yisrael that Kadosh Baruch Hu is here, that I love you, and I'm here, and I'm present in your life. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's me. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calling card. The Maharal says takes that idea, like he lived before the Pnei Yeshua, but that idea that the Nes Hashem was meant to communicate, he takes it a step further. Let's take a look inside. There's a few lines in Ner Mitzvah. These happen to be, often Maral is very, very difficult to read and to understand. It's a very obscure style. But this piece happens to be a little bit easier. Odei Shloma. Iker Mashakovi Mechanaka. Why were they Kaveh the Yom Tov of Chanukah? B'shul Shayim Natsch Zayivanim. Maral says, of the two Nisan, which was the main one? Really? The Nes HaMelchama. That was the main dish. Rak Shlo Haya Nireh Shehaya Kan Nitzachan Azeh Al-Yedei Nes. It wasn't clear. Was the military victory because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping us? Or they were great military heroes. And they were enormously brave, enormously courageous, and enormously competent. In the aftermath of the Six-Day War in 1967, remarkable victory. So there were those who looked and said, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is carrying the Jewish army. Or you could choose to ignore that and say, coincidence, it just happened that the Egyptians were sleeping and the Jews had just the right timing to wipe out the entire Egyptian air force over the course of less than an hour. And it just happened that the Syrian tanks were here and there, and it just worked out, it just worked out, it just worked out. It just happened that the Jordanians got scared off and that there was a political background in Jordan that made them likely to retreat as much as they could, as fast as they could. It just worked out, and they got this advantage to give out Tehmoshet, and then pushed from there. You could look at it and just say, yeah, that's the way it worked out. Mikra, chance. Or you could open your eyes and say, wow, Kadosh Baruch Hu is carrying us. No Nisim Niglam, but clearly Nisim Nistar. So in 1967, you had to work that out on your own. Look with open eyes and see Yad Hashem. And that could have been the Nisayon 2,500 years ago also, in the days of the Chashmonah, 2,200 years ago. But instead, Maral says, Kadosh Baruch Hu in the days of Chashmonah did an additional miss. Kadosh Baruch Hu had done the Nes HaMelchama, but people might notice that and interpret it correctly as Yad Hashem, or people could choose to avoid, ignore Yad Hashem and say, it was merely the result of the Chashmonaim's bravery and military prowess. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu followed up the Nes HaMelchama with the Nes Hashem. That way you would know that the original Nes was also from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nes Hashem, because Nes Hashem was Nes Nigla. That was incontrovertible. That was an actual suspension of the laws of nature. Biochemistry just stopped working in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no physical, chemical way that amount of oil could have lasted, could have combusted for so long. So that was an undeniable Nes Nigla. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving that. V'kach HaMelchama Shayim Natsan in Yisrael Hayim Me'ashem Yisbarach. And that said pshat, the point of the Nes HaShemen was to say pshat of the Nes HaMelchama. Mashal Lamahad Davradoma, a painting on the wall. The artist has a canvas, paints a beautiful painting. And then in the bottom corner, an inch or two where he signs his name. With black paint, with red paint, whatever his preferred color is. And the whole gorgeous canvas, but the signature at the bottom, in the corner, tells you pshat in the whole canvas. You see this gorgeous painting, but who painted it? Ah, you look at the bottom, you see the artist's signature, now you know that the entire painting was from that artist. The Nes HaShemen, says the Maharal, was the signature on the canvas of the Nes HaMelchama. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us, the Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us, and then he signed off, said, that was me. How did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us, the Nes HaMelchama, that was me? By following up with a small but clearly obvious Nes Nigla of the Nes HaShem. So that's the relationship between the two Nisim. And with that, let's take a look at a Pasuk in Tillim, and then we'll wrap everything up. The Perek Kuf Zayin, 107 in Tillim, is the Perek that talks about different people who have a chiyuv hodah to Ribbono Shel'Olam. Gemara speaks about four different scenarios where a Jew is chayav to bring a korban todah in the days of Beis HaMikdash to say thanks to Ribbono Shel'Olam. Nowadays, that's when a Jew recites Birkas Hagoma. The arba shetrichim lahodas. Who are the four? Someone who survived illness, someone who survived a trip through the wilderness, someone who survived a trip in the ocean, and someone who survived an ordeal in prison or in captivity. How do you know that those are the four? It comes from Tehillim Kuf Zayin. You open up a Tehillim, you open up the Tehillim in the back of the Siddur, open up a Sefer Tehillim, you see a long Perek Kuf Zayin, and it gives you different scenarios, a few psukim for each of these four scenarios, each of the Dalad Shetrichim Lahodos. And the four scenarios are punctuated by repetitions of this pasuk, a six-word pasuk. Yodu l'Hashem chasdo v'niflo sevel v'nei adam. And the niggin for it also. Yodu l'Hashem chasdo v'niflo sevel v'nei adam. They thank Hashem. How you translate that? I will translate it. They thank Hashem for his chesed and for his wonders to people. In other words, that they thank Hashem for his chasadim and for his niflos v'nei adam. Maral says that's not the way to interpret the pasuk. Maral, in his Perush on Tehillim, on that pasuk, he notices chesed versus pela. That's sort of parallel. What's the difference between a chesed and a pela? It's always something that Maral wonders about. He also notices not only chesed and pela parallel, but l'Hashem and l'vnei Adam. So he says, a chesed is when Hashem helped us. He did something. He did a chesed. He helped me. A pela, a nifla, is a wonder. Hakadosh Baruch Hu did something miraculous, spectacular, very impressive. Not necessarily a chesed. It might not be, he may not have helped me, but he did something, wow. A chesed is he actually helped me. Not necessarily wow. If a person does a chesed for me, it's not to say miraculous, not razzle-dazzle, but he helped me. If someone helps me, I should say thank you to the one who helped me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed, you'll do L'Hashem chasdo. You should say, Hashem did a chesed for you. You should say thank you to whom? L'Hashem. To him. V'niflo sav, the Malbim explains, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a pele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something miraculous, spectacular, dazzling, then you should talk about that, livnei adam. Then you're not going to primarily reply facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, but you're going to pass it forward on livnei adam to other people. Tell other people, what do we call it in the language of Hanukkah? Pirsume Nisa. Hashem helps me, I should say thank you to him. Hashem does something spectacular, I should share it with other people. The Malbim doesn't talk Hanukkah, but L'chora, it speaks to us in terms of the two Nisim. It kind of captures it magnificently, Rabbosai. The Neis HaMelchama was a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. We needed help on the battlefield, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried us, the ultimate chesed. It wasn't as much of a pele, as Maral points out. It wasn't a Neis Nigla, it was a Neis Nister. The Neis HaShemen, on the other hand, it wasn't necessarily a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't helping us. We did have the chance to do a mitzvah another 7 days, but it was primarily a pele. That's what the Maral explained to us. The point of the Neis HaShemen was to communicate, was to tell us something. As a matter of fact, if you look at the full Ramban, he goes on to say, Ramban and Shoftim, he gives a second function that an ace can play also. Either it's Hatzala or Lahodia Shemo, to communicate his existence, to let us know that he's there. The Ramban is capturing, and the Malbim, interpretation of the Pasuk in Tehillim, is capturing the two flavors of Nisim, and the two Nisim of Hanukkah fit into those two categories. The Neis HaMelchama was a chesed. Hashem took care of us. Hatzala. The Neis HaShemen was a pele. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating himself. Lahodi Hashmo. And what do you do with a chesed? You say thank you to he who did the chesed for you. What do you do with a pele? You share it with other people. Niflosav, Livnei Adam. Pirsume Nisa. Rabosei. Now we're ready to go back to the top. And end with all the richness of ideas, the richness of machshava that we've developed, and thinking about Nisim, and thinking about the functions of Nisim, and Neis Nigla versus Neis Nister, and also thinking about a chesed and a hatzalah versus a pele, a lahodi, a shemo, and the relationship, Maral said, that the second Neis Hashem was meant to say pshat Neis Muhammad, didn't just follow it chronologically, but it was meant to buttress it. It was meant to root it. It was meant to make sure that we would understand pshat. That we would understand who did that Neis HaMelchamah for us. Rabbi said, now, the two half stories, this geschmack, what's the context of the two stories? In one context, Chazal told us about the Neis HaMelchamah. In the other context, Chazal told us about the Neis HaShemen. And now that we have more Havana, we can put the pieces together. When do we say Al HaNisim? What's Al HaNisim? It's in the bracha of, as you see on top, the bracha of Hoda. Right? It's the thank you bracha. Modim is always the thank you bracha. We also say Al Nisim in benching, no delacha, as the name indicates, no delacha, the bracha of saying thanks. So these are brachas in which we say thank you, universal thank yous, any day of the year. On Chanukah, and as Akiva pointed out in Purim also, Chazal said, you're going to enhance your thank you with a seasonally specific thank you. We're not just going to say modim al chayenu, al nishmosenu, generally erev okav tzaraim. We'll add also, specifically for the nisim of Chanukah. For which nisim do we say thank you? Yodu l'Hashem is chazdo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. The Neis HaMelchamah calls for a thank you. So in Hodah, the focus on Neis HaMelchamah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you saved us. Thank you so much for taking care of us. We make a reference to something happened with the menorah, but that's not the focus, because that wasn't a chesed. That wasn't a thank you. The Neis HaShemen is highlighted in the other telling of the story, in my Chanukah. Why there is a Neis HaShemen highlighted? So probably for two reasons. Number one, we were wondering before, the opening of the Brisa is it's an unusual nusach. It's an Aramaic and a very ancient Aramaic. And also, we open right away with Hesped V'Tainus. The truth is, those who have learned Maseches Tainus may recognize this Brisa as being a part of Megillas Tanis, which is perhaps the most ancient work of the Torah Shabbat Peh, most ancient sefer of the Torah Shabbat Peh. It goes back to the days of the Bayi Sheni, and the Chachmei Hadoros during the Bayi Sheni instituted different Yamim Tovim over the course of the Bayi Sheni period to celebrate different things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Restorations of doing the Avodah properly, taking things back from the Tzedukim, taking things back from the Greeks, from the Romans. Restorations or enhancements in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Megillas Chanukah is about. Celebrating the Yamim Tovim of Beis HaMikdash. So that's why, and it is written in this ancient Aramaic style. And it tends to open, it'll name the date, and it'll say, this is a day when you're not, some say not allowed to have a Hespin, not have a Tinus. Some say you now have neither Hespin nor Tinus. Sometimes just one of them is awesome, both of them are awesome. So that's a very classic opening. That's how every date, every paragraph in the Megillas Tanis opens. So this is part of Megillas Tanis. So it opens by saying, Chafei Bekis, 8 days during which you have neither, this is a high level Yom Tov, neither Hesped nor Tanis. And that also gives us one layer of understanding. How come the focus here is primarily Neis HaShemen? Well, Megillas Tanis is all about celebrating what happened in and around the Beis HaMikdash. So the focus, of course, is going to be, it's a Mikdash-centered Sefer, so for Shetzach, the focus is on the Neis HaShemen. And maybe we could give a little more pshat, we could add another layer of how come the focus is on the Neis HaShemen. Because the Gemara, Megillas Tanis, tells the story of the Neis HaShemen, because that's what Megillas Tanis is about. But the Gemara quoted it. My Chanukah, the answer was Neis HaShemen. Why do we quote Megillas Tanis? Why do we quote Megillas Tanis? Why didn't we quote something? Why didn't we quote Al Nisim? Why did the Gemara talk about the Neis Hashem. Meila, the Megillas Tainis talks Neis Hashem because Megillas Tainis is a sefer about celebrations of Mikdash. But how come the Gemara chose to quote the Megillas Tainis? How come the Amoraim didn't quote the Alanisim? Well, quote both of them. My Chanukah, all you can quote the Megillas Tainis? So the answer is Rabbi said based on what we learned. Niflo Sav Livnei Adam. Alanisim is a tool for Hodah. In Hodah, we focus on Chesed. Yodu Lashem Chesdo. The Neisam Acham HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. But my Chanukahs, as we said before, in the context of the opening Dapim of the Chanukah Sugars are about the Hadlakas HaMenorah. And Al Pi Pashtas, the Zerambam, will take a look at the Bli Neder next week. Chaim Friedlander talks about Rambam, perhaps it's a somewhat different approach to Chanukah. But Al Pi Pashtas, Ner Chanukah, is the ultimate, is not so much about Hodah, it's not so much about saying thank you, it's Pirsume Nisa. It's the ultimate Pirsume Nisa. The Gemara is explicit. That's exactly what Ner Chanukah is. The Ner Chanukah speak to us. The Ner Chanukah communicates, non-verbal communication. It's advertising. What are you advertising, Levnei Adam? Nifl Osav Levnei Adam. The thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, that's a conversation to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did amazing things that you share with other people. Niflo Osav Nedem, Persume Nisa. The primate Persume Nisa is the Pele. Certainly they were Pela'im on the battlefield as well. But those were Nisa and Nistar. Those were already very impressive. But the most impressive, the clearest, most evident expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at work was the Neis Nigle. The Neis HaShemen. So much so, Maral said, that it even served to give pshat to the Neis HaMuhammad as well. So in the context of Ner Chanukah, in the context of Persume Nisa, my Chanukah? You want to know my Chanukah? You want to know what's the backstory to the specific of the Neris Chanukah, to Persume Nisa? The Persume Nisa is also about the Muhammad. Muhammad appears here as well. Kisha Gavra, but primarily the Neis Nigla of the Shemen. So these are the two half stories of Chanukah. There are two Nisim. Each has its purpose. Each fits into different. Each plays a different role, and each calls for an Oved Hashem to respond differently. Calls for different modalities of response to Eved Hashem. And Eved Hashem responds to Chesed with a Hodat Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eved Hashem responds to Chesed from a person. Ought to respond with Hodah to that person. Don't just tell everyone else. Make sure you say thank you to the one who did for you. And certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me. I have to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something amazing. I should share that insight. I should share that he'ara with others as well. The two modalities, the two directions, LaHashem Levnei Adam, are displayed in the way that the rich array of how an Eved Hashem responds to the Nisim of Chanukah. And these obviously are meant to spill over to the rest of the year, to heighten our awareness of the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, to heighten our awareness of the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays His hand. And as Maral said, to make sure that the times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more evident, as Ramban famously writes the end of Parashas Bo, that to use the opportunities when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more evident, to allow that to bleed into the rest of our lives. And when there are moments, of more intense he'ara, when there are moments where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more evident, you don't just let that moment go by. You take that and use it as a flashlight to notice the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is less obviously, but far more frequently, ubiquitously involved in our lives all the time in the background. And that's the real goal of the Ha'ar of Chanukah, is to give us the insight to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more in the Nisan Nistarim of the Milchamas of Chanukah over 2,000 years ago, but to notice the Nisan Nistarim, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fingerprints, the subtle fingerprints of Ribbono Shel Olam in the everyday Milchamas of our lives as well. So that's a little bit of some of the Machshava, some of the perspective of appreciating some of the deeper insight of what Chanukah is meant to be about, and how to learn Alanisim, how to learn the Gemaras and Shabbos like a Lamdin with Lamdisha tools for Machshava goals. And I hope this has whet your appetite, as I was saying before, as we got started, over the next couple of days, when you have more flexible schedule, you get to make your schedule. You get to be kovei your itim to make sure that you schedule it in. A chunk of the Simchas Chanukah should be a Simchas HaNefesh. And to enjoy the Litvish Minig, the Litvish joy of learning the, even if you don't come up with all the Chidushin Beis HaLevi, but to mechash for yourself this Minig, of embracing the Chanukah Sugis, or the, all the Simcha, the Lamed, the Simcha of Mashav, there's so much going on.